Hey folks, Scott Ligon from NRBQ is our guest today. I want to let you know, in upcoming weeks, some good folks scheduled Larry Tamblyn of the Standells, Tom Doyle, author of this book about Paul McCartney called Man on the Run that I just finished reading this week, sitting by the pool. It's all about Paul during the 1970s, which I didn't know too much about, so I thought it was really, really interesting, a real fast read, really enjoyed it. Bobby Patterson, soul music legend with a new record out called I Got More Soul. P.F. Sloan, he wrote Eve of Destruction. He wrote You Baby for the Turtles, Must to Avoid for Herman's Hermit, Secret Agent Man for Johnny Rivers, lots more stuff. He'll be our guest, and Deke Dickerson. Check out WFMU.org/Michael to see the list of upcoming guests and the dates when they'll be here. Anyway, Scott Ligon of NRBQ. You know, if you're a fan of this, check out the archives over at WFMU.org/Michael, because over the years we've interviewed both Spompinato Brothers and Terry Adams, and so there's a lot of NRBQ-related stuff on there. WFMU.org/Michael. Okay, here it is, Scott Ligon of NRBQ. There is NRBQ from the brand new record called Brass Tacks. We've heard so many tracks from that record. They all sound good. I've got a special place in my heart for songs that are under 2 minutes long, like that one. We join on the phone Mr. Scott Ligon. Scott, welcome to the program. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, it's a very... We've had many members of NRBQ on this show over the years as the membership sort of has evolved.
Yeah.
We try to keep up with that. And new album Brass Tacks, sort of not a surprise. It sounds like an NRBQ record. You know, I think there's some people that wonder if NRBQ still sounds like NRBQ. I think they do.
Well, at this point, you know, what should it be?
I don't know. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's been over 40 years, and you know, Terry's still going, man.
Yeah.
You know, I think Terry has a very good understanding of, you know, what this band is, what it's supposed to be, and where it's supposed to be going.
This is, you know, not everybody knows NRBQ, and it's sort of hard to believe, because everybody I know knows NRBQ, but somebody asked in the comments on the playlist for today's program, you know, where should I start? You know, what's the record I should buy if I don't have an NRBQ record? So not everybody knows that this is a lot of people's favorite band in the world. So to step into the shoes of all the great players who have been in there must have been slightly frightening. I assume they were one of your favorite bands before you became basically the lead singer of that band.
All-time favorite band.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely my
all-time
favorite.
It's a vast, you know, it's a vast resource of music, and it's, you know, you got to really get in there. You can't just dip your toe in and expect to understand what's going on. You know, if you care to get in there, it can be very rewarding, you know, and it's, you know, there's a lot of music, a lot of albums, a lot of different people have been involved, and, yeah, I mean, I would say that it was, you know, when I first started doing it, it was a little odd the first couple shows that we played, and I opened my voice, and, I mean, I opened my mouth, and Joey's voice didn't come out of my my head, or Al Anderson's, you know, voice didn't come out of me, you know, I mean, I'm just was so used to hearing these songs, you know, sung by those guys, but I do feel like I really ingested this music, you know, in a pretty profound way. I mean, it's I would say that I knew all of these songs by the, you know, by the time Terry and I did meet and get together and get a chance to play. I think I knew every song. And I'm not really sure how that happened. It's not like I was sitting around in the house, you know, banging these songs out on the guitar. I just listened to them so much, they were just, you know, they were in me.
Yeah, you're also an incredibly musical person. I mean, I think that's evident from seeing the band, but there's tons of YouTube clips of you playing every instrument besides the guitar, you know, the organ, the drums, the piano. You know, you're a very musical guy, and not everyone can do that. And a lot of these songs have a million chords in them, too.
Yeah, well, that's part of what's, you know, part of what's really fun and kind of deceiving about it. I mean, they don't sound complicated, you know, and you don't want it to sound complicated. But once you do get in there and figure out what's going on, it's like, wow, hey, this is really interesting stuff. And like I said, it's very rewarding, especially from a musician's perspective, for somebody that, you know, knows how difficult it is to write a song. You know, Terry and Joey and those guys just seem to do it so easily, and do it with such class.
Yeah, you know, there's sort of a moment in movies where somebody becomes president and they, you know, open the suitcase and they kind of give the new president the launch codes. And I'm wondering, is there like a moment in NRBQ when Terry teaches you the thing, you know, the top secret Q thing?
Well, not necessarily, but I will say that, you know, for the very first rehearsal that we ever had as a band, you know, from the very first note that we played together, you know, Terry never said what song we're going to play. He just launched into it, and he did that with the next tune and the next tune and the next tune. And I remember thinking, wow, this was happening. I felt, you know, I was very honored that he treated us like equals from the very beginning. And it's kind of like, here we go.
So just into the deep end of the pool right
away. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's never stopped. It's always been, you know, it's always been like that ever since.
And I mean, does he go and say, you know, that should be a major chord? Or is there any of that that goes on?
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, in the van, you know, there's a little bit of discussion here and there about, you know, what's the first chord of that bridge? Or, yeah, but, you know, try not to talk about it too much.
That's amazing. So where do you come from? I mean, you know, I'm aware of your brother's records, which you sort of have a big hand in, which we've heard a little bit earlier in the program today. And, you know, there seems to be a really terrifically friendly scene in the Chicago area of great music makers, and it seems like you're a part of that scene. But where did you come from? And I assume you've been playing music since you could play music.
Yeah, I think my first bar gig was at a place called the IR Here Tap, and I think I was in seventh grade. I was thinking about that the other day. Wow, I was thinking, wow, my first bar gig was actually in seventh grade. I was responsible for music, you know, on a Friday and a Saturday night, me and my friends, and we were all 12 years old. I've been doing this. I don't ever remember not doing this, really, to be totally honest. I mean, I remember that there was a time before I knew how to play an instrument, and then there was a time when I could, but I don't remember that transition. I come from a very musical family. My father was a piano player, and my mother had a beautiful voice and was just a very musical person. And obviously, you know, my brother. I mean, my brother was, you know, hugely influential on me and was the person that introduced me to NRBQ. And you know, when the first time I saw NRBQ, I always thought that Chris and Terry, they kind of reminded me of one another. And I think that's part of the reason why I had this sort of familial sort of feeling. Is that a word? Familial?
Yeah.
Family-like? Sort of feeling toward Terry, but you know, I've always been playing. I've never not been playing, and you know, it's I'm not really concerned about, not very concerned about, you know, what level I'm playing music. You know, I mean, whether it's in front of a, you know, crowd of 12 people or a crowd of 3,000 people. I just want to play good music. That's all I ever wanted to do.
So
I'm
how
not
did
very concerned about anything else.
How did Terry find you? How did he get you? Because it seems like a perfect match.
Well, I think we found one another, you know. I mean, I've said this before, but, you know, I think that there are people that just have a certain kind of magnetism. There's a certain kind of chemistry that they have, whether they know one another or not. And, you know, it's just a matter of whether they get the opportunity to bump into one another. And but, you know, of course, I was a huge fan. I, you know, probably saw 25 NRBQ shows. They were really the only band that I would ever go see. Because I was always busy working, I didn't really go see bands very much. But when I discovered NRBQ in 1988, I just flipped, and I, you know, I had to see them every time they were within 200 miles or something like that. And so I, you know, I was really a fan. I mean, I wasn't cool about it either. I wasn't like hanging around in the back of it. I mean, I was right up front, you know, and. You know, sweating through my clothes.
Yeah, I think there's a picture on Facebook of you in the front row going to see them, you know, just...
Oh, yeah, it was just, you know, I was just an absolute... I just had to do that. And and then I guess in 2000, in, I think it was 2006, Terry went out for some shows with Steve Ferguson and Tom Arlino, and they came to Fitzgerald's in Berlin, which is... one of my favorite clubs in the world. I actually got married there a couple years ago, but I live around the corner from there now, and I made sure that I was at that show, and I just really wanted the opportunity to talk to Terry and thank him for all of the great music. You know, that's not an easy thing to do after somebody's played a show and they're sweaty and it's late at night, but I just really felt it was important. I really, really wanted to somehow get through to him. How much it meant to me, and so we had a little conversation, and we played some music back and forth on a piano in the corner, and 5 months later, I got a telephone call from Terry. It was wild.
Did he know you could play the guitar as good as you can?
Well, that's the funny thing. I mean, he hired me based on two songs that he heard me play on piano.
You are really one of the most fluid live guitar players I've ever seen. I mean, you just don't hesitate.
Really?
Yeah, because you kind of do the finger picking and you do the, like, needly, you know, fast lead solos and the rhythm thing and the Chuck, you know, the Chet Atkins thing. I mean, it's all there, you know. And you also do the, like, the Big Al, Steve Ferguson stuff, and those guys are crazy good, you know.
Yeah.
It really works so well. So there was this band called NRBQ, and then they stopped playing for a variety of reasons, and then Terry started the Rock and Roll Quartet, and the Spompanato Brothers started their band, and then at a certain point, Terry decided to call his band NRBQ again, and there were some bad vibes, some hurt feelings. Was that must have been a tough thing to a little bit be in the middle of for you?
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, I guess to a certain extent, but I think that to be totally honest, I would really rather not get into that if it's all right. I don't have any real words of wisdom when it comes to that, especially at this time of day. but I will say that NRBQ is 24 hours a day for Terry Adams, and it has been his entire life. It's, you know, it's the only thing that he's ever done his whole life, and it's the only thing that he ever will do, as far, you know. As far as I'm aware of, I can't imagine that all of a sudden he's going to, you know, get a job. You know? I mean, he's never done anything but NRBQ, and believe me, it is 24 hours a day. He never stops. It's always, I mean, everything is NRBQ. Everything, every day, everything that he does.
The
TV that he watches, that's NRBQ, you know. You know, everything he does, you know, the food that he eats is NRBQ, everything. So that's what I'm going to say about it.
Fair enough. Terry, we had him on the show, and we were talking about his keyboard playing thing, and he said, "I'm not sure what it is, but I know no one else can do what I do." And I think that's really accurate. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a very specific thing. Let's talk about Terry as the producer, because just like you, some NRBQ records are my favorite top 10 records ever, you know, next to the Beatles and all the greatest records. And and they're usually produced by Terry and Joey, and and you think, like, here's these crazy off the grid guys, but they're making these records that combine everything everyone likes, you know, and they're very complicated, yet they're so accessible. So I'm wondering, can you tell us how Terry, how you bring in a song and Terry's producing-ness makes that song better?
Well, I do think that he, like I said, like I said before, you know, he knows what is NRBQ and what isn't. And as far as his producing style, I mean, you know, it never feels like, oh, there's you know, I mean, Terry, he doesn't seem like a producer. It's just, you know, this is his music and his legacy, and you know, he knows what's right and he knows what isn't right. And you know, I think that I think that's all I have to say about it. You know, I mean, he knows what goes what's going into the record and what isn't.
Like we heard "Keep This Love Going" a few songs ago. It's just a remarkable song. I'm sure when Pete brought that in, everybody was all smiles, you know. But the record of it also just fits the song just right. And sometimes that's hard to do, you know, to capture get the performance and the sound and the song all balanced, you know. And NRBQ.
Well, "Love This Love We Got" is an example of a song that literally came out while we were working on another song. I think we were mixing a completely different song on the record, and Terry said, "Hey, wait a minute, shut that off." And we ran into the piano room and just started playing this chorus. "Love this love we got, love this love we got." and he said, "Hey, why don't you come for the verse for this?" And so I came up with some chords for the verse, and Casey came up with some lyrics, and we literally recorded it right there on the spot. And we didn't really change it. I mean, it was, you know, both Terry and I playing piano simultaneously, and we recorded the vocals live, and, you know, we thought, well, maybe we'll put some drums and some other things on here later, and, you know, we thought, I think, you know, as time went by, we realized, wow, this song is done. It is what it is. And that song was like a piece of magic. It just appeared out of nowhere.
You guys are playing July 21st at BB King's, and also shows coming up in Connecticut and Rhode Island, Virginia, Pennsylvania, etc. You can check nrbq.com. And you've also got a MySpace page, myspace.com/ScottLigan, for which we heard this.
I do?
You do, and we played It's Your Birthday off of that page today.
Hey, you did? Yeah. Wow. I didn't even know that existed anymore.
That's a that's a number one hit song. Terrific. So when, you know, it is a weird world that there are people who still, after 40 years, haven't seen NRBQ. But last time I went to BB King's and saw you, I ran into a guy I went to high school with who was going to his first NRBQ show. And like you, I've seen him, you know, 50 times probably. Yeah. So there's always, it's hard to describe, you know, you can just say it's good music, or it's, you know, it's a wide description of a wide encapsulation of everything that is sort of pop music in the widest possible definition. But what do you tell people?
Well, you know, I've talked about this recently. You know, I have friends, people that I even work with musically, who have still yet to see NRBQ, and I worry about them. I really do. I think that they're missing out on something really joyful, and it's like a really true expression of happiness on this planet.
You know, I know exactly how you feel. I used to go into work after an NRBQ show and say to people who didn't even like music, I say, I feel sorry for you because you missed this thing last night. You know, I really, truly felt that.
You don't want to be condescending about it. That's not at all what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to say, oh, I know something that you don't. It's really not about that at all. I really honestly do believe that, you know, my life is so much better because of it. I mean, it seems dramatic to say that, but it's true.
I know exactly how you feel.
I'm definitely a happier person because of this music.
It borders on religiousness in a weird way, but I know exactly what you're saying. There's nothing down about it. It's just like you want to share it. It's
absolutely, it's so and good. I'm not even concerned about, you know, I don't want people to come see me in NRBQ. I'm not concerned about that. I just want people to know this music, and so that's why we're still doing it.
Let me remind everybody, Scott Ligon is our guest, and you're tuned here to WFMU, Storrs, WMFU, Mount Hope in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. And the new record's called Brass Tacks, and like I said earlier, July 21st at B.B. King's, but traveling around quite a bit, and see all the dates over at NRBQ.com. Now, traveling around in a van, in some ways, it's the most fun you can have. I think there's some boring things, and, you know, traffic jams are never fun. But I love driving around America, and I love, you know, I think the challenge of going to a different club every night and different audience, different city, different sound system, different stage, different set for you guys. What is the state of America? What have you learned about just our country?
Oh, brother, man, I don't know if I want to talk about that. Well, you know, I mean, it's everywhere you go, you know, almost every city looks alike. But you know, that's kind of a bummer. You know, I think that, I don't really want to get into the state of America, but I will say that, this band definitely comes alive when we're out there. You know, I mean, it's interesting because we don't all live in the same city. You know, we're spread out. I'm in Chicago. Casey's in Chicago. Conrad is in Austin. Terry is out in the east, on the East Coast. And we get together sometimes for 2 weeks at a time. And when we get to our last show, we're thinking, man, you know, we're trying to get as much out of this as we can every time we do this. And you know, we find ourselves doing, you know, crazy stuff, you know, the last couple nights of the show. You know, our last show on this tour was at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn, and I would say that night we probably did 45% to 50% songs that we hadn't played at all on the entire trip, because, you know, we're trying to get to everything that we can possibly get to, because our, you know, our time together is limited. And it's like I said, we really come alive when we're out there doing this. And you know, it's an opportunity for us to explore this catalog and try to squeeze as much out of it as we possibly can.
Well, it's always fun. I mean, it's always surprising, and like you said, you can go see the band, you know. Lots of people do. They drive all around the United States because the shows are not the same every night, you know. It's just fun. Yeah, I highly recommend it. Scott Ligon is our guest. I've got this song queued up called "It'll Be All Right" from Brass Tacks. This is one of your songs on here. Tell me about this one.
Well, that song was basically just a guitar riff that I had for about 3 or 4 years that I just kept playing, like sort of in a loop. Continuously, I didn't think I was ever going to finish this thing, and finally one day all of a sudden it was done. I don't remember trying to finish it, just seemed like all of a sudden one day it was done. And you know, it's just about unconditional love.
Alright, let's hear it now. We'll see you July 21st at B.B. King. Scott, I appreciate the window on NRBQ. It is, like I said, it's so many people's favorite band, and it's just nice to hear a little bit about how it works.
Well, I'm doing what I can at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's not a good time for me, but I did my best for you, Michael.
I appreciate it. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
You can be downhearted, it's all right. You can be unsure yourself, it's alright. Well, you can be anything that you need, it'll be just fine with me. You just do what you want and it'll be alright. Be alright. Or you can act like a fool want to, or you can play it off cool if you have to, or you can act like a little girl who's afraid of the big bad world. You just do what you want and it'll be alright, baby, it'll be alright. no use in asking if it's wrong when you know it's gonna be alright. You know it's gonna be alright. Just do what you want and it'll be alright. Baby, it'll be alright.